Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel at youtube.com/talkover or follow the Talk Over podcast page on Spotify.
We've done it. Are we in? We're recording, mate. We're good. It's actually our anniversary today, Smooth.
You're celebrating
our birthday with us.
I'm an avid listener, so great to see the journey. Happy birthday.
We've got an avid listener on the podcast, the legend himself. I've seen him last week. I've seen him twice in a week. And before that, I didn't see him for like 6 years.
It's like London buses, mate. You wait ages and then two.
Like, I'm seeing you. He walks in, he's like, I'm seeing you too much, stylist. Like, what, twice in 6 years?
So, never too
I'm
much,
right? I'm that bad. Martin Too Smooth in the building.
Thanks for having me.
How you doing, my bro?
Yeah, good. How are you
good?
Guys?
All good, man. Good. We're here for the day. Yeah, we're just gonna try and churn these out, man. Obviously, I've come down for money. Double lives in Brighton.
Maidstone. I don't live in Brighton.
Because everyone associates you with Brighton, right?
I've been saying it for time, man.
As a DJ, that is where I'm from.
Yeah, yeah.
That was where, as a DJ, I was raised. Like, I actually grew up near to Brighton, so. Yeah. But in like a country village.
I don't know
village,
why I started saying that. So, I don't know. I
countryside village. So, as DJ Double, yeah, I do associate myself from Brighton. But he always says I live in Brighton. And then the people from Brighton get onto me because I don't actually live in Brighton.
He's a Brighton boy.
But yeah. DJ-wise, that's where DJ Double was born, essentially.
I feel like when I was at Atlantic, when I came out of uni, I interned for ages, and I used to send you records, and I'm sure you had gave me feedback from Brighton clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
See, when you had to fill out the feedback sheets.
Oh,
when they would send out the vinyls, and you got the paper sheet, like, now it's just like, yeah, dope, or even a click now sometimes.
We don't even, I just type any word just to get access to the track. No, sorry.
It's two. Dope, cool. That's my two. I'll get sent the tunes off.
Some days, if I'm feeling generous, I might leave a comment. Like, it depends on my mood.
The thing is,
if I'm in a quick one, it's just like click, 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 click.
I download everything and listen in the car.
Okay.
Because I do so much driving, so I don't listen. I don't sit at the computer and listen at home. I ain't got time. So I'm download. But when you need the word, when you need to put feedback in to unlock the track, it's dope or it's cool.
Yeah.
DJ City got rid of the feedback thing completely now.
Did they?
Yeah.
It's just like a click thing.
Sick.
Because obviously, play knows.
Digiwax is still like the lot.
I used to use Digiwax.
The form hasn't changed.
Do you still use that?
Yeah, occasionally, because they'll put up like, not so much now, but they used to put up whole albums, clean albums of American artists. Yeah, that's what they started to do. So you click on one, and the whole album's there, but the clean version. So that's why I'm still using Digiwax. But it's like, where were you born? Colour your eyes. What's your mum's maiden name?
It's an American one though, Digiwax, right? It's from the States.
Yeah, it's long.
Have you ever been caught out with clean tracks?
Like, yes, American edits. It's funny because...
They have a different level of cursing, don't they, man? They let stuff slip.
I mean, I have, not to plug it or anything, shameless plug, but I have a sideline business that I do, cleaning songs.
Really?
Yeah, called trackwisemedia.com.
I should get the Nike DJs on that.
So I've got I do stuff for like Sony Music, Universal, like all of them, the record labels who send me projects and I clean it up. And that was born out of working on community radio and having to clean up the clean edits from America. And I remember Chucky being one of the people, funnily, he said, he was like, I hate cleaning songs. And then I was just sat there cleaning it. And then one day, do you remember LaRizzle, DJ LaRizzle?
Yeah.
He said to me something about, we used to do a radio show together and he said, about how many I had cleaned. He said, well, how many have you got track-wise? Meaning how many songs have I cleaned? And I was like...
Is that where you got the name from?
Track-wise. That's a sick...
It's actually a sick... It's a sick brand, man.
So yeah, the American edits are usually terrible. Especially it's something about the last chorus.
It can be clean all the way through
and then the last chorus would just be horrendous.
I've had a few tellings off on when I was doing local radio in Manchester years ago, and then it was like a free strike and you're out thing, man, because you were kind of left to vet your own cleans. Obviously, one extra, the higher levels, they'll go over it. Producers will check it and all that. It's a bit different, so it's kind of left with you. I slipped a couple times, man. So, and it was always American. It was always American edits. Obviously, in the UK, it's like, you can't really... Can't say too much, innit, like when it comes to airwaves.
There's a lot of really strict... And I had to read up on these rules as well. Like, I had to read the Ofcom book to understand what I was doing.
Oh, really?
I had to study the Ofcom Bible, you know. I wanted to approach the record labels with a product, and now I can say to them, like, this is Ofcom ready. Like, if you come to me, I will make sure the song abides by Ofcom regulations. That means that's no it. Sexual references, no drug references. I know all the slang and the lingos and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
So it's
sometimes a lot of people don't even know the slang, and like some of it's so new. Like you need to be up.
Yeah, people are singing these words and don't even know what they're even singing. Yeah. Are they just learning the words, kind of thing?
Exactly. So. And there was a lot of American records. They might have the word like bomber clart or ras clart in there, and not realize like you can't play that on radio because there's a whole demographic of people that are going to be really offended if they hear it. Do you know what I mean? So. It's crazy.
Smooth, we've been wanting to get you on for time, man. Like,
I wanted to be on.
I see your Instagram, like, I'm plugged into what you're doing, and you're like living the sickest life out here, bruv. Like,
right, don't get it twisted.
No, man. This guy touring, like Gumball, like crazy corporate stuff. I was like, we gotta get Smooth on to share some stories and a little bit of a breakdown, man. Come on.
You only ever see the highlights on Instagram. Do not get it twisted. I remember, like, I come back off tour with Eve, and we spent the whole summer in America, and Hanif, I work with a lot, one of the baddest promoters in the city. He goes, yeah, are you free Bank Holiday Monday? I thought, yeah, he's going to give me a good slot. And then I get there early and he puts me on the tills. So the whole summer, I was playing in arenas and stadiums or whatever with Eve and Gwen Stefani.
And then
I was in the till.
Yes, you need friends like that to keep you on the level, innit? Like.
Yeah, you don't see that bit on Instagram, but yeah.
We talk about clubs a lot. We talk about our sets a lot. Like, but one thing, I've never like toured like on a bigger level. I did stuff for me should be. I'm not sure if you've done like any tour bits.
Yeah, I toured with Flocka. Yeah. Walker Flocka.
Oh yeah, you did the Flocka shows.
And then I've done like smaller club tours like last week.
Yeah, it was the same with me should be, which was obviously short lived.
Did you guys enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it, man. Like, it was completely different. I'd never done anything like that before, so it was completely new. Obviously, the host in the room and gassing the crowd. Obviously, I'd use mic work and stuff, but it's always in clubs and club nights. Completely different approach. And that's why I wanted to chat to you about it, because obviously, with what you've done, you've played big stages, big crowds, but then smaller clubs. Like, how would you say that the crossover is when it comes to, like, prepping for each one? Like, do you approach it differently each time? Obviously, you play big club rooms, Ministry, but then you play to a crowd of, like, I don't know, 20,000, whatever. Like, I've seen some pictures on your Instagram. The crowds look mad.
It doesn't really matter how many people it is, as long as you get them going. Like, you just got to connect with them musically. When I went to America, like, I thought, oh, I'm going to tour with Eve. I'm going to play so much upfront hip hop. And then I did that on the first show, and it was with Gwen Stefani. I look out the crowd, and there's loads of middle-aged women. And I'm like, and by the end of the tour, I was playing all the Futures and stuff. And then by the end of the tour, I was just playing Michael Jackson and Prince, because that's what they wanted. So it's just kind of finding out what the crowd want and then delivering that, really.
So the first time you went in, you went playing all the new shit.
Yeah, up front, trap and stuff. And then, yeah, I had to pull it back.
Is Eve's demographic now, like, so obviously she's kind of old school. Yeah. She's still doing her thing, so... They must be like over 30s and whatnot.
Yeah, it depends really. Like,
or she tapping the new people.
I feel like with Eve, not so much maybe with Gwen Stefani, but definitely with Eve, she's been able to cross over different generations of hip hop music, because you got like the early Rough Rider stuff, which would be the 30 plus, but then you got even tunes like Tambourine, which when I play it in a club now.
I still play Tambourine, man.
Right? Like, yeah.
Tambourine's a banger,
but you can play it in a club and see like 18, 19, 20 year olds. They know the song and they know the lyrics. You know what I mean? So I feel like Eve's someone that probably crosses over.
Yeah, massively. I think good music is always timeless, man. And like when we did the shows in London, we had like 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, and a lot of girls buy into her music as well, man. So yeah, I think if you've got good music, it'll transcend any sort of age. Yeah.
How did you even meet Eve, bro?
That's a mad connection.
That's a position to like land in. It's a bit mad.
I was in KFC in Hammersmith. No, really.
So, get some chicken wings, yeah.
I was Cleo Soul's DJ. Do you remember Cleo?
Yeah.
So
she used to do dope.
Banging, and she's come out with a new stuff recently. It's like a track with Little Sims, which is hard.
I rate her, man. She was
like,
sick.
Yeah, she's wicked. She's really talented, a really good person. But we did the Mobo tour, did a few shows after that for a year or so, and it kind of died down. She stopped making music at that time, and currently starting making more new music. But Matchstick from Warner, I used to work for him for ages, and he hit me up going, are you free tomorrow? I need a tour DJ for an American artist. I said, yeah, I'm free. And he didn't tell me who it was for. And he goes, meet me here. And I met him at Wise Buddha, which you guys probably, studio. And turns out it was Eve. And then the first show did that. It was at Proud for Love Doe. It went all right. second show was a big show. It was at GAY because she had all the press there and everything because it was the launch of her album Lip Lock. And I messed up the track order completely. And I remember she looked around and gave me the look of death. But she's so classy with it. Like, she just carried on.
Styled
she,
it. Yeah, too professional.
She's a rock star, man. And we went back afterwards and thought, you know, I'm going to apologise. It was nice. It was fun while it lasted.
Marty thought his numbers were on the board, yeah. Then it was over.
Yeah, and then she was totally cool about it. She's just a classy lady, man. And then a couple of weeks later, got a gig in Lebanon with her, and then the rest is history, man.
So why did she not have a tour DJ?
She did. She had one in America. Then she moved over because she was going out with Max, who was her boyfriend at the time, then fiance, and now married to Max. And right, Max okay. lives just around here.
So Maximilian.
Yeah,
now.
Max Cooper, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's the guy that created Gumball, the owner of Gumball, like, he's a creative G, really.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Martin's got great friends, isn't it? Me and Double need some new mates.
Yeah, this is something I spoke to you. When we first spoke about you coming on the podcast, I mean, it's probably like at some point last year when we spoke.
Yeah,
I said I wanted to bring you on to talk a lot about like networking and building friendships.
Oh, massive,
because
man.
You've got some incredible friends within this industry, bro. Like, I mean, like, your network... I don't know anyone that networks the way you do and has the network.
And do you know what? It's all genuine and organic. It's not something that I didn't go out actively trying to be, I want to be this guy's friends. Like, it just, like, it happens. Like, you meet him one time, you have common interests.
Yeah.
You work on a project together and then the relationship develops. But it's all organic. And you know what? I always think your network is... your net worth, really, yeah, man. Like, I'd rather have a good phone book than a big bank balance. I know people will disagree with me on that, but like you know what? Like, relationships to me are everything, man. Like, you never know when you need a favor or when someone else needs a favor. It's so important to kind of have a good team of people around you, man.
Mm. I seen you on the Gumball in, was that Tokyo, that last one?
Oh, mate, that was unreal. It was the week before I got married. It was the best
That looked
week.
Crazy, man. So you drive with the rest of the drivers?
No, you know what? I did it for the last 3 years. We followed the rally. The first year, it was me and Charles. We had a car and we had security, not our security, but like the rally security. and just driving it. And DJing at the same time was just so hard.
So, like, you drove the show, then when they did the stops, you did the sets as well.
Yeah, and it just
that's intense.
We weren't.
What were you driving?
We had a Mercedes G Wagon.
It wasn't
that comfortable.
A nice big. Was it not? Are they comfortable?
No, not a long distance. It's more of a city car.
Oh, okay.
Even though it looks like good off roader, but it's more of a city car. But yeah, like, because we'd be first in the club, so we'd be doing the warm-up, and then someone like Afrojack or someone like that will come on, and then we'd finish off. So we'd be there from 10 till 4, then we'd have to be up again at like 7 or 8 to start driving again. So it just wasn't healthy, man, driving. And
driving's harsh on you anyway, like, sat in the same place.
Yeah.
Getting out, then hosting the set, and then...
It was
maybe
killer.
Drinking.
Yeah.
Did you drink on that trip?
I can't remember when I was sober.
I got here. Come on, son. I just remember seeing the picture with in the dojo, and you had your kit on, and then Usher was just there, just flexing.
Yeah. Oh, I think you have headbands on?
Yeah, me and Andy, we got in the spirit. We got all Japanese, got into the Japanese spirit, so to speak, man. Like, we had the Japanese sweatbands on and like Japanese coloured tracksuits, so we just thought we'd get in.
Yeah, I remember,
man.
That. Was that like, that was last year's one, right?
Yeah, it was in August, last August, yeah, man.
Yeah.
So you've been in the game for time, bro. Like, we had breakfast the other morning, we had a good conversation. Obviously, it was short-lived because you had to shoot back. Like, how did you even get into this, bro? Because you from the events to the touring to doing the Gumball, like, I feel like you're kind of plugged into... a little bit of everything, but where did Martin start out, man? Has it always been a music thing?
Yeah, always been a music thing, man. That's what I think all of us, that's one thing that all DJs, well, all proper DJs have in common.
Real DJs.
Love the music, man.
Tell them again.
Like, I remember when I was at college, before I went to uni, like, we'd... I'd have lunch money in that, but I wouldn't spend it on lunch. I'd buy records from HMV or your local record shop. I couldn't really afford Uptown Records back then, man. It was expensive. Like, people don't know the struggle, man. Like, £12 for one song at one point. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Like, yeah, minimum, you're looking like £7-8 for just like a single.
No, you know what? I paid, I know I might have got done here, but I paid £25 was the most I ever paid for a single. And it was an AV8 record. You remember the AV8?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The party breaks.
I think it was Be Faithful. It was before Be Faithful got released and was only £2.99 from HMV.
Okay. It was all on AV8, wasn't it?
It was all on AV8 Records, which like was the party breaks label.
Yeah.
And they were like gold dust in Brighton. They came into the record store. You had to snap them up quick. Yeah. So obviously JJ, the guy who owned the record store, was called Mike Check in Brighton. And he obviously clocked onto this. Well, these are running out, so let's just see what all
£25 for a single vinyl.
I think
you got shafted, Dubs.
Possibly.
That's intense.
But I've got it, so it's cool. And I
you got, still guys got your vinyl? Have you got your...
I actually got rid of my turntables, man.
Yeah.
I kept my vinyl.
I mean, he hates
I put it online. I was selling my turntables. Instant DM. What are you going to call yourself now, then? You can't be stylist anymore. I was like, he's got a good point, but I've had stylist since high school, man.
Part of your name,
I can't change it. But I've semi-parted it, really, if you think about it. Like,
yeah, fully parted.
But I've had to move with it, man. The clubs ain't catering for turntables.
Oh, it's hard, man.
It's hard. Like,
I don't know how you do it. Like,
he carries them sometimes.
Yeah, but you guarantee they're well serviced, they're looked after. Like,
no,
not at all.
Not. They haven't been serviced for about 5 years. And they're all dusty. They've got club dust all over them. But yeah, I mean, it's like one of the things, to go back to your question. Yeah, I've got my whole vinyl collection. Actually, not my whole vinyl collection, because what I did was when I moved house, I realised I was going to have to, I had so much. And I was like, right, let me cull the collection.
Yeah, because there's a lot of promos that you probably never won.
Oh yeah, they used to send out like so many.
Flowrider Low never came out the sleeve. I still had the sealed vinyl.
That was a banger back in the day.
That was a banger.
I never played it on vinyl. I think I had it, it came out after I was on Serato.
Okay, right.
But I still got sent the vinyl. So it was, I played it, of course, but I never used the vinyl. So I had a thing. When I was culling my vinyl collection, it was, firstly, is it a song that I like and would listen to again, just at home? If it is, it stays. Secondly, if I had to do like a nostalgic DJ set anywhere, if I would pack that in my set, it stays. And then the third one was, is it rare? Yeah. Or did I pay £25 for it and it's only one song? So I still got Be Faithful from Fat Man Scoop. And anything outside of that category, went straight to the charity shop.
I heard Trevor said he was clearing out his collection. I saw an interview with him recently and he goes, if he didn't remember what the song went like, it went.
It's gone.
That's a pretty cool one.
I can only imagine Trevor's like brain when it comes to music, though. Like, encyclopedia of everything, bro. Like,
just imagine the size of his vinyl collection, man.
Yeah, true.
I can't remember what he said he was on. He's like 5,000 or something. So he must have got rid of a lot.
Yeah, he's definitely had a clear out. He must have had more than that. Mine was more the garage stuff that I collect, because when I first started,
you can't get rid of that.
I was a garage guy. That's what I started on. So it was like, you dig out the white labels. Like, I got the original Eskimo press on white. It was like one side. Like, I think Wiley had written Eskimo on it himself in black light marker.
Might be worth
it. Was just like scribbled on. So I've kept them, but then a lot of the stuff, promos and the R&B shit, a lot of it was throwaway, man. I did get rid of some, but I've kept like a good chunk of the collection. I just can't bring myself to get rid of it. Mm. Too many memories, man. I have a little 7-inch collection as well, which is like old reggae tracks and whatnot. I started buying 7-inches, but they're so hard to mix on. Should I mix on 7-inches?
You need to have that the big disc in the
middle.
For probably about 6 years of owning turntables, I had no idea what this little disc was for.
For real?
Until I got a 7-inch vinyl and there's a fat that's hole in the middle. For, yeah. Like, hang on a minute, I reckon that's the same. Oh, it fits.
They're so temperamental, you like moving it with like one finger in that. Yeah. Like, and you let it go and then you can't like, you got to be tight, mate.
Tricky times, mate. Tricky times. Going back to the networking thing, we've got a lot of like young and up and coming DJs that watch and listen to the podcast. It's really interesting because like I say, because you've got so many people in your network and people you've got good relationships with, but they're not just DJs or just promoters. Like you've got Piers Morgan to Trevor Nelson. Do you know what I mean? Like this huge, massive like range and scope of people. So like, what kind of advice or like, how do people start to get people in their networks? Especially we're in an age now where it's difficult to talk to new people. Does that make sense? Because generally, like, you might...
Do you think so? I think it's more so easier now because, like, we can reach out to each other online and not have a worry about...
getting shot down.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if they ignore you, then you get shot down. But, like, I think it's a little bit easier now, I guess.
Okay, so maybe... Actually, let me word it differently. Not difficult to talk to people. Difficult to build relationships.
Sincere relationships.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's what I think I'm trying to say. Is it's difficult to build these kind of relationships where...
Yeah, you're right there.
And essentially where you become like... Someone needs a DJ, Martin Two Smooth's the person they think about. That's obviously the aim of networking as a DJ. So, like, how do you get to that position with people?
I think... for me, it's like something that Hanif always taught me. Like, it's any opportunity that comes by your way, just do it and do it properly. Like, there's some gigs that
any opportunity?
Well, a lot of them. Like, I did a gig on Saturdays for about 4 years at the Jazz Cafe. It's I Love the 80s and 90s, and we're playing 80s and 90s pop music. And, like, it wasn't my sort of thing. Like, I wanted to play hip hop. but yeah, I tell you what though, it really put me out of my comfort zone. It made me a better DJ. So if I go to any sort of party, if I do someone's a corporate party, I'm prepared for that. I can, I'm versatile enough. And then that gives you, like, when you go to a corporate party, you'll meet people and then you did a good job. They'll recommend you to other people. It just spreads like that organically. And, like, if you're a nice person and you treat people like you want to be treated yourself, it kind of just spreads.
It's kind of just a natural progression, by the sounds of it. Like, consistently doing your job and being good to people.
Yeah, you know what? I find it tricky when I'm actually DJing, like doing the physical DJing, to build any kind of conversation with people.
Because
I find like I'm just so in my bubble to do it. Maybe to my detriment, excuse me.
No, but you're concentrating on doing a good job. But that's not, it's not even afterwards or on email or like just answering people on time and delivering invoices. And like, even when they're then taking time on payment, like, I'm not going to sweat Nike for not paying me in a month. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to pay me like whenever, really. Like, but I do get it. Sometimes you need the money ASAP. So I see it on both sides. But I just think if you deal with people the way you want to be dealt with yourself, you're always going to be onto a good thing.
So what's the plan for you now, Smooth Man? Like, what's going on?
We were
on?
Talking about exit plans, weren't we, the other day?
Yeah, we were.
Exit plans, do you have one?
Do I have one? I don't yet.
We were talking about exit plans, you know, what a way to go.
we're planning, I do think we're it's out, important. Guys. Like, you guys have got it sus though, man. You've got like your video editing stuff. You've got the podcast. You're doing the clean edits. Like, that's a great exit. Like, you can do that forever. You don't have to be 22 and clean records. You don't have to be 22 and record a podcast. You can be whatever you age you want.
That's true, but that business model only lasts as long as radio lasts.
Yeah.
As soon as radio becomes irrelevant...
Do you think that's going to happen soon?
Not soon, but I think it will
not
happen.
Not soon.
It's not... I mean...
I can see how it could end up going that way.
In our lifetime.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. You see the way, like... Actually, this sounds so dumb, but I don't really watch it that often. But does TV still happen like just broadcast, or is everything on demand?
It happens. I don't watch TV.
Can you just turn on channel one and then you have to watch whatever they're showing you at the time?
I live in a cave, bruv.
Just allow me. I live in a cave.
No, that's a very new age way of thinking about it.
Because if I want to watch something, I'll go onto Netflix and I'll find something to watch and I watch it, or I'll go on YouTube and I'll watch it when I want to watch it.
Okay.
I don't have a TV license at my house because I don't, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't watch TV.
Do you have a TV?
Yeah, I have a TV.
Okay.
So only what happens when they knock on the door? I'll edit this bit out.
No, I don't give a fuck. They can't do nothing. I only have a TV because Leanne made me get a TV when we got the house.
You have to have a TV. We have one, but it never gets turned on. I'm not going to lie.
My son, for example...
Watches only YouTube, innit?
Netflix.
Oh, is it really?
Netflix. We've got a channel set up for him, and he'll go, and we watch it... So we have it through the Xbox, and he'll come in when he wants to watch Netflix. He'll turn the controller on. He knows how to navigate it. Yeah. And he's six. He can do everything. And he'll find his program and sit and watch it, Netflix. So, like, I genuinely didn't know if, like, they'd still broadcast, like... You have to watch this TV show at this time of day.
They do on demand now. So it's like,
well, that's what I'm saying.
They'll send you to the internet and then you go back and watch. But that's like, the future, man. Same with
podcasting.
I end up binge watching though, bruv.
Well, yeah, but this on demand thing is
It's brilliant, isn't it? You it can watch it on a plane. And you
Because if I'm busy at the time when something's broadcasting, when I get back from the club, I'll just turn it on and watch it.
How do you guys, like, I struggle to sleep like straight away after the club. Like, even you guys drive to gigs and back. Well, yeah, like, so when I used to drive, I used to take ages to even get out of the car. Like, I'd be on my phone ages.
Oh, that happens quite often.
I get shouted at, you know. The missus shouts, she's like, turn the engine off. You can't sit out there for like 45 minutes with the engine running. Like, you're wasting petrol. Like, you'll damage the car, because I'll pull up and I'll spend like an hour in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bad. No, it's cozy. The heating's on. My phone's
out. You don't need to switch off, like.
Exactly. I can't go and sit in the crib and like.
Yeah.
I leave the club and I'm like,
I'm G'd up,
man.
What I used to do, this is a really bad habit. I used to video game. So I used to.
After the club?
After the club. I'd get in, turn the Xbox on, and just play like an hour. But then what I found was sometimes an hour, I'd be like, just one more game. And then I'd realise it's half past
six. Xbox hole.
He doesn't watch TV, but he plays his Xbox and he gets in from the club.
I actually stopped gaming. I stopped playing in it completely now. But I used to get to like half six and I'd be like, crap, Leanne and Roman are waking up in like half an hour.
Jesus.
I need to go to bed. Yeah, like, I can't. Cool. Imagine just sat there, just like some. Like a little crackhead, and they're coming downstairs for breakfast, and I'm still there with my red eyes.
Because
like,
you've got the little one, so like you come home from the club, and then
you have to be awake. Yeah,
you gotta be up. Like,
not every day. When I'm playing in the clubs, I'm not up in the morning.
Okay,
I don't get up until I'm up at like 11 o'clock. So.
I don't know if I could ever live that life, you know, guys. I said, I'm sorry, your missus don't watch this one.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's one way to drop it to her.
I'm not ready for the commitment, man. Like, I just. Coming back from the club, and then you got to look after the baby, and then obviously the wife is working full time, and then I'm trying to like,
but you know what, when it
do
happens,
as much as possible.
I think your whole mindset changes.
You
like,
adjust.
It's crazy.
You have to adjust. Like, there's, I have no choice. I can't not be a dad.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
I can't
true,
not
true,
DJ
that's true, that's
because
true.
That's where my money comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the alternative, do you know what I mean? Like, there's no alternative. So literally, I had to adjust. And just had to get into it, and like.
Now you're handling it, man. You're handling
like,
it.
I'm enjoying it as well. Not just handling it. I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying being a dad. I'm enjoying working. I feel like some weeks I haven't, but most of the time the balance is right as well. Do you know what I mean? I learned.
Yeah,
I read a couple of really good books actually that taught me about that.
Really?
But, does he ask about music? Does Roman get into the DJing?
What's
music?
He?
Or do you kind of keep
is
it?
A massive Russ fan.
Really?
For real?
He loves Russ.
So that's dope.
He loves Russ.
Russ is sick.
He's a huge JME fan. He's a massive Giggs fan, and it's amazing. He actually met Giggs once. I know Giggs' brother Joe Grind very well, and we went to a Caribbean food shop once, and Giggs was there, and Roman recognised him from the "Man Don't Care" video.
Really?
It's
yes.
Like 2 years ago now, Roman was like, "Daddy, that's Giggs." I was like, "Yeah." I swear.
That's sick.
He just walked off, and he just went, "Are you Giggs?" And then. I was stood on the other side of the room watching Giggs chat with my six-year-old, who was like four at the time, and they had like a 15-minute conversation.
He's such
a G,
you know.
I had no idea what they were talking about, but they were just over there on the other side of the room just chatting. And then he came back, Roman came back, sat down, and we started eating. Like,
heavy.
So bizarre. But yeah, so he's a massive Giggs fan. Who else does he like? He likes Drake. He likes Stormzy. So like, we made a massive point of not playing nursery rhymes in the car.
Really?
Bro,
so no Baby Shark or nothing like
that. Shit. No. Don't get me started.
GT's favourite song.
Yeah, yeah. No,
he's been having you ever since that, you know. He's on you.
Yeah, we used to do a lot of drives as well, because where my parents were to where I was living was like a two-hour drive. I'm not listening to Old MacDonald on repeat for 2 hours. No, you're listening to what I... And because I had the business cleaning music,
yeah.
I've got clean edits of everything. So I can avoid the swear words in the music. Do you know what I mean? So that way. And also, we played music into Leanne's stomach when she was pregnant.
Really?
Yeah, we made a playlist of all the stuff we
so
like.
He's going to be a musical.
For real?
Chat when he's
I promise you. I promise you.
If he was to turn around and say, I want to be a DJ like you, like, would you push him into it? Or would you try and move him away from it?
It's tricky. I've always said, like, whatever he wants to do.
He can do it.
He can do. Okay. But the way I'll teach him is, make sure it makes you happy.
Okay.
Because that's the key thing I've got from my job, is that I love DJing.
Yeah.
And so that's what keeps me going. That's what gives me the motivation to push and work as hard as I have. So if you want to do it all the while it makes you happy. Fair. If you don't.
There we go.
But yeah.
Yo, one thing I wanted to talk about today, obviously I know Martin plays a lot of open format stuff, different styles of sets, taking risks with music.
Yeah.
I know like you play... You might play some next left field stuff,
yeah.
And then you play some new shit. Like, But then there's DJs out there that are completely like shook to even move away from the norm and or just stick to the bangers. Like, do you think taking risks is an important part of people's sets now, and it kind of, I don't know, like sets you apart from other people? Or like, what would you say when it comes to that, man?
Because I know
you,
you
push it, bro. I know you push them selections.
It's calculated risks. Like, okay. I will, if I can push someone that direction, oh, okay, I can push them there, so I can do a little bit left of that. Then further, you don't want to be going in cold and then throwing something really wild out there. Just take them little baby steps. But some risks are stupid. Like, I saw, is it G2?
We had this conversation like 2 weeks ago, man.
At Sound Clash, I saw this. He was about to play R. Kelly at the Sound Clash.
Oh my God.
What, recently? Obviously.
Recent. This is after the scandal.
Legend.
I think he just likes to push the boundaries.
Yeah, 100%, man. He does it to be controversial.
He knows what the boundaries are.
Nah, there ain't no boundaries for great. I never got to go to the last Sound Clash, to be fair.
Yeah, I never went last one. Yeah, I didn't.
I missed it, man. I still felt, yo, the first Sound Clash. We should have won that still.
Yeah, jury's out, man. So, do you know what it is?
I'm never going to get
you
over
that. Smashed it.
I thought we'd done a good job,
man. We just had
man.
Really good videos, and then it looked afterwards, it looked good.
See, this guy's got Eve popping up on the screen. Piers,
yeah,
Mark,
that's right. Yeah, Piers Nelson.
And we've just got like a few like cheap ass dub plates and that. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't really stand a chance, to be fair.
I wanted to do, if we did it this year, I was trying to get like Lord Sugar to do like your
fire. Oh my God.
Man, like just, Alan.
Yeah, I was trying to get all of that stuff, but we never did it in the end. But yeah.
How do you even go about getting that kind of content? That's your network.
Yeah,
well,
you know what?
It goes back to that, doesn't it?
Do you know Alan Sugar?
I know him through Piers. Right. So we follow each other on Twitter. But like, for that one, I'd have to ask him. It's not like I have as good a relationship as I did with Piers or something like that. And like with Piers, he's so controversial.
I was just about to say, he loves
it. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff he says, but I agree with what, he's a man that he has his opinion and he stands by it. Yeah. Kind of like what you are like with DJing. Like, this is how I feel it should be. Like, and like, he sticks to it. And I respect that, but I don't respect generally all the stuff he says. But I respect him for how he goes about it, and like I respect him as a person. He's always really nice to me, and I just asked him if I could do it, and he said yeah, of course.
I never thought I'd see you doing the morning breakfast as well, man. Like, Piers is kind of, I think he's softened up a little bit. It used to be way more controversial. I feel like he was, man. I never used to like dig him too much. Like, I used to, and I see he goes on Twitter and he knows how to rattle people.
Yeah,
it's just part of his image and his brand, isn't it? You did his birthday. How did that work out for you?
How did that set even go? I wouldn't know what songs to play.
Oh man,
it was a mixed bag.
But like, there's certain timeless music, like, which is a shame now. Like, Michael Jackson's in this hot, like this situation. Like, he's a go-to guy for those sort of music.
Yes, man.
Bruno Mars, James Brown, Prince.
Do you think Michael's off the list now?
No, I'm still going to play him. I know it's probably...
Did you watch the documentary?
Not all of it. I saw the first half an hour.
I didn't see it. I watched
half. Have you stopped? And I wrote it off. It was...
Are you never going to play your stuff again now?
No, I'm not. I'm not writing Michael Jackson off, man. Bro, it's a weird one with MJ. I wouldn't be into music if it weren't for Michael.
Yeah, yeah.
My first record was the Bad Album.
Yeah.
I still got it.
The first vinyl I ever owned was Remember the Time.
Okay.
And I won it. Get this. I won it in a dancing competition at a primary school disco.
What?
Yeah. But do you know what I mean?
It's
like
all
those.
Coming out now.
But those kind of memories.
Insert footage.
And even like. All of the Michael Jackson albums, me and my best friend used to sit in the back row of my mum's car. She had a 7-seater car, Peugeot, one of these ugly long things, where the back seats were in the boot, facing out the back. Do you remember them ones?
Yeah.
We used to sit in the back with our Sony Walkmans in, listening to the same Michael Jackson song and singing the words on the way back from school. Do you know what I mean? And it's these kind of memories and stuff. I'm not ready to throw those memories away and taint it.
It's a situation at the moment, man. Like, even like Cardi's in hot water at the moment as
well.
Where do we separate the artist from their music, like their personality from their music? Like, at some point, someone's going to get loads of parking tickets and we're going to have to like stop playing their music. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like Cardi kind of like, I've not read into the situation properly, but I feel like that's just semi being pushed on. Like,
it's one of them ones,
not
man.
Not really
it's,
being entertained.
It's,
like,
it's just a it's just an Instagram outrage thing, and it's because it was raised on Instagram, it will come and go real quick. I feel like the Michael Jackson situation has been a full documentary about it, so it will last a bit longer. But ultimately, by the end of the year, no one's going to be talking about it.
The same people stood trial and it was cleared through both people.
I've just seen stuff like,
now released this, and some of the stuff they say is horrific, man. It's a bit intense, mate.
Yeah,
but I'm a hardcore MJ fan as well.
Have you stopped playing his music?
No.
To be honest,
you don't probably haven't Warren.
I only have one night in the week that I would play Michael Jackson music, and because it's a student night, that is a completely open format one. I always make sure I do a completely different set every week. So I'm diving in and out of all sorts of genres.
That's a solid DJ.
No, I don't want to be that same guy that's like, right, five past one, now I'll transition into house music. And then I'll transition out of that using it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be different.
That's solid,
time.
Man.
But so the Michael Jackson one that would straight away come to mind would be like Man in the Mirror. That's in the last half hour of the night when you're dumping all the student sing-alongs and stuff. I haven't played it since this whole thing's happened, but not because I'm like, oh, I'm worried that someone might say something.
Switching
like,
your setup.
Just because I'm switching things up all the time. The only other one I can think, actually, no, remember the time if I was ever doing any kind of like New Jack Swing style thing, you know, when you do the Candy and then Poison and all that sort of.
It's mad how crazy how everybody moves into the same little bits. Like it's
remember
mad.
The time would be in that sort of New Jack Swing type set if I'm doing it. And then Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Yeah. Around that kind of set. But I don't really have not had many opportunities to play those kind of sets recently.
So I got told to not play one at the, believe it or not, it was at the sixth day.
Really?
And it was a little edit. It wasn't a full MJ song. It was in the little power mix that I had. And it just come into little things like stylist. No, after this, just try and stay away from the mic.
They do it so nicely.
it's so nice. I was like, okay, well, it's all good. I just stayed away from it.
I went in a shop, literally the, around the time it was all popping off on social media, and they were playing it. First of all, they had SWV Right Here,
which samples Human Nature.
Human Nature. And then straight after that was, I think, Black and White. Mm. So literally a Michael Jackson sampled record followed by, I felt like they did it deliberately, but I was just like, good. Glad to hear it. And the other thing is, again, coming back to my son, he's a massive Michael Jackson fan.
Yeah, I know a lot of children that even born way after he passed away that have love his music, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
His music is so timeless and it still touches the new generations. Like,
not only that, it's
that's why it hurts even more.
It's really great music, and like he was a great singer. So he was someone, obviously, Michael Jackson's music played a massive part in my musical background. I wanted to have that same impression on my son. Roman, right? If you say to him, what album is Remember the Time on? He will tell you.
Really?
Even down like, what album is Rock With You on? He'll tell you. And then he'll be, Daddy, can you play Girlfriend? I'll be like, what album is it on? And he'll tell me, and then he gets to put it on. Like,
wow.
That's sick,
you know what I mean?
Man.
So he knows.
He's
going to
be really musical when he's older. Are you going to encourage him with like an instrument or?
Yeah, he plays guitar.
Really?
He plays guitar. I mean, he plays Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, so he's not like.
Yeah, but he's not going to. I don't expect him to be Jimi Hendrix just yet.
Yeah, he's not doing a stadium tour just yet, but yeah. He can play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
What if he went out and he said, look, I want to be in a thrash metal, like heavy metal band, like what would
you know? What music is music? As long as your band ain't rehearsing at my house, then you go and do your thing. Like, but yeah.
So, what you just mentioned then, when it comes to like with your sets and you try and jump in a little bit different every time you do a set, you know what I mean?
That's so sick. Like that's so easy to get in a rut, man.
I had this thing recently where I felt like I always try and do the same thing, but I just felt like I was getting stuck in a little bit of a. I was like in a bit of a rut, man. Like not like skill wise, technically. Like I'm still doing my thing, and I was just like, I need to just pull away, and that's why I arranged that tour thing. Because I wanted to go around and just re-engage myself, man. Like you know, when you're playing out 4 or 5 nights a week, it's like bam, 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 bam.
And you don't have time to see other DJs play and get inspiration.
Exactly. And that's so important as well, you know, because when you hear other DJs, they might play something.
That's a banger. I haven't played that in ages.
Yeah.
And get a reaction. And I'm thinking, this happened just the other day, actually, in Southampton. Shouts to DJ K-Dog. He's Sneak Boat's tour DJ.
But,
We did a show in Southampton last week. I don't remember which record it was now. Yeah, it was...
What did he pull out?
It was that Marshmallow and Roddy Rich tune.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
I know which one you mean.
Literally, I just play it earlier.
I've never played it
It's just about, he played it in the middle of the night. Everyone went sick.
Sick.
And I was like, right, you're playing this like...
This is
now,
the thing, like, when you play to yourself over and over, it just, you kind of just like go
for
into
me,
your own little...
that song would have stayed in the warm-up. I'm still doing Die Young, still really rich. Like, I mean, like, not Die Young, how is it called? How is it? The one with Chip and Young Bane.
I have not been playing that out, I'm not going to lie.
Bro, play it out and see the reaction.
Working, yeah.
That was really working. But it was the Marshmallow and Roddy Ricch one that I was so surprised about. And that's opened
my eyes
to that.
And that transcends just hip-hop as well. Like, I think it's definitely. Like, for student crowds, that's a big record.
Yeah, definitely. But I wouldn't have thought to play that at that time of night. That would have been literally one of my first hour songs. Do you know what I mean? Just
it's so
I like
good watching other DJs DJ. So,
I think it's vital to get out and listen to other DJs.
And I think, like, even if you don't have time, like, we do it a lot in London, like me, Andy, CJ, and like some of the DJs in the West End. Shout out to Charles and JoJo. Like, we share set lists. Like, we share, oh, look, this is my history from last night. This is my history.
Oh, really?
And it's a really
for
cool
real?
Way
I've
to do
never,
that.
I've never heard of that between DJs.
I have never heard that
no,
before.
No, we always do, man.
You have ever even shared a...
I'm not sharing with you.
No, it's a really good way. Like, oh, God, that's how you warm up. Or you warm up till then? Or, like, yeah, it's like...
That's
a,
actually sick.
It's a really cool way to do it. And you kind of all bounce ideas off each other. And like, sharing histories is a really dope thing.
Yeah, that
after
is...
After that tour, bro, I came back and I was like, yo, my first couple of sets after that tour... Bling.
Yeah, but it's nice to play in different places. Isn't it?
And
when you're playing
the
same spots,
and that as well,
and it's the same walls, and a lot of the time the same regulars. You know how they're going to react. You're just in the comfort zone.
Yeah.
Getting out on tour and playing in different cities all across the country, like what pops in Newcastle. We've had conversations. Yeah. Where I've said to
different areas are clued on different levels,
Brighton,
isn't it?
And he's like, we couldn't even play that in Manchester if we wanted to. He's like, it's a shit song anyway, but... And they wouldn't react to it in Manchester. Or similarly, I've played somewhere out of my comfort zone where I thought, this is really popping back home. Played it. Lead balloon.
So regional, isn't it?
Like, it's definitely a regional thing. Like, I have residences like up in Preston, which is up from Manchester. Then we've got Liverpool over to the left. Then the Manny ones. And I approach every single one completely different.
Really?
And,
even in that short
even
area?
Even in that short area, man, yeah. And then I have a Saturday spot, which is like completely open. And you can play anything from grime to hip-hop to MJ to just anything, bro. Like,
yeah, your Saturday. Sort of
I love it. Saturday is the one, man. And it's a full night, so it's like 11 till 4. It's a long set, but because... You just have the complete freedom to do. That's my favourite spot, man. Sorry to all my other spots. I love you all too, obviously. but that's my favourite spot.
So that one, is that like a niche crowd that like, would you say that was a specialist crowd or is that open format?
Basically, when I went into there, they had a specific crowd and it was more like classic hip hop, like R&B 90s stuff. And then I come in and I started on a Thursday doing little guest sets. They moved me on to the Friday. Then they were like, oh, do you want the Saturday? I'm contracted to them now. I can't play anywhere within that Northern Quarter area.
Right.
It's like they're kind of using me as like their USP thing.
Yeah.
So then when I brought my crowd in and mixed it with the older lot, but because it's good vibes, the older lot and the younger lot have just kind of gone like this. Sick. And they just appreciate
that is for me
anything.
The epitome of a good night, man. Like you have sick, every bro. Sort of race, every age, different musical taste, but all kind of in the black music genre, and like that's what I try and do with Holler Back, man. We play anything from old school to new cool, like
old school to new cool.
He's got a strap right in there, everything.
Yeah,
I
man.
Love that.
and that is going every Friday in London, so from May. So watch out for that. But yeah, it sounds just like that, man.
It's my favorite spot, man. I think they're the best ones. I have specialist ones where it's all new UK, new hip hop, and I love them too, man. But like, I like ones where I can go right across and show your music, like the knowledge, man. Like,
yeah. My favourite nights to play is when there's a big artist or a big headliner coming on.
Really?
And I get the set beforehand.
Do you know what? I hate that.
I tell you why, because the place is packed.
Yeah.
If it's a big artist, the place is rammed. And that's where I feel, because I host a lot as well.
Yeah.
So like I can get a lot of my character over. I've got like, that's just a pre-made fan base right in front of me. So I can really like host and play with them. No matter what I play, doesn't matter anything I play, they're not leaving
because
they've paid the money to see the next guy.
But do you think they treat it more like a concert rather than a dance?
I had that situation last week, actually, and that was the only thing was everyone was facing
standing
the front, but it was so rammed.
Yeah,
I even had to stop the music twice and be like, right, you lot at the back. Take a step back.
Yeah, everyone,
the music was off for like 5 minutes. So I was like, you guys move back because this is about to die at the front. They were literally up against
some
the barriers.
Control
and
needed.
There was some girl, it looked like her eyes were about to pop out of her head, man.
God.
So I was like, everyone step back. I even said, like, I'm not putting the music on. till this side of the front can breathe. And it took a few minutes.
For real?
Yeah, I had to, bruv. Like,
that sounds intense.
Yeah,
it was mental. So there was that where it can be a bit jarring. And like playing certain songs, obviously, they can't, the girls can't get down whining and stuff. Yeah. So there is that. But for me,
they're going to go away thinking, oh, that
vibes
that,
wise,
yeah.
Like when you just see, like there was pockets of mosh pits popping up, everywhere, like all sort of like that. Yeah. It's just an easy job. And like I say, you can take more risks.
Yeah.
I can throw it left even more because they're not going to leave. Yeah. And even if it doesn't work, the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to stand still. When I just play another banger and then they're on it again. Do you know what
that's
I mean?
That's how you so like, kind of take risks. You sandwich them in.
the sandwich technique. Yes, the sandwich technique.
Yeah, two certified bangers either side.
Yeah, and one in the middle. And you know what? I did that on the, weekend with Gunlean and Homet and B. And I put Dr. Vade's ringtone in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. And no one...
It went off.
Really?
Dr. Vade's, apart from like, Homet and B got the biggest response, but I just thought it wasn't going to work as well as it did because it's kind of a new track.
Sick.
And it went off.
I've only played that once.
I reloaded it. Had to reload it, bruv. Like, it was massive reaction, which I didn't expect.
Where was this?
That was in Romford.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've got a Saturday night spot.
Really?
Yeah,
you know what? Sick. That's probably the first club I ever went to as a kid.
Yeah,
I went to school in Hornchurch. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, so that's like on the high street, right?
And it used to be Fiction.
Yeah, yeah. And before that, it was like Time and Envy or
Right. Yeah. Same place.
Big club that is, man.
Yeah, it's massive, wicked venue as well. Yeah,
like, double only played. All your spots are big room venues, right?
No, majority
of them. We don't have any big room venues, man.
So Attic, where I play on a Saturday, I play like the R&B. They call it the Curve Room.
Yeah.
So that's where like all the R&B and hip hop and bashment would be played. Then there's the main room. Oh, it's all like house and drum and bass and dubstep.
So is it a bit weird that I play the main room in this Luminar up north? Because they have the curved thing. They have that other...
It's weird that you call it Luminar.
Well, whatever. Oh, yeah, it's not Luminar now. It's Deltic, isn't it? Oops.
No, because it depends. Because some nights, like my Monday night is a Deltic venue.
Okay.
And I'm in the main room there.
Right.
I just do what I want.
Yeah, same. I have to find some house. I have to play throw in the house and stuff. I have to mix it up a little bit. But then I didn't know what the other DJs were playing in the other room until they tagged me in a video last week. And then there's Mosh Pits, the Mo Bamba and that. I'm like,
I'm playing that in the other room.
What's going on up there then in the other room? And I'm down here in the main room.
Yes.
Anyway, that's the only big room venue within the reach of us, unless you're talking warehouse and stuff.
Yeah,
and you've got like Level in Liverpool, but they're kind of locked into their, like that's locked into their own thing. So yeah, we don't have any big, I play one big room venue and that's on the Wednesday. Besides that, it's more like bars and bar like with the clubby vibe, do you know what I mean? So yeah, but I need more big room venues still, man. It's different. I think you have to approach them a little bit different. You use the mic a lot. I'm not a full on mic guy, like, and I think that's just because a lot of the places
you don't need it
and they don't want it a lot of them up north.
I found that up north
so many gigs I don't even use the mic at.
Okay.
Like the West End, I never really use a mic.
Try to let the music do the talking, man. Yeah. Like, that's what I try to
but
do.
I love now. I love using it, but yeah,
I love a bit of mic work, mate. I absolutely love it.
You love it. You come and did Mr. Litty that time and just engaged the whole place, man. Like,
it's just,
I mean, it's a different level of confidence and skill in itself to host and do your thing at the same time, but do it well.
But you know what? I find even just being able to use the mic means you're able to transition and change from genres or tempos
100.
So much easier.
You
can just be up in the 105s blasting that stuff out. But if you want to get down to 60 somehow, stop it. Do a birthday shout out, play birthday sex.
Yeah.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then you
or like a cappella loop and then
you can completely change it. Or even just one, the other day, what was it? I stopped the music. I couldn't figure out how to get Dave location into this particular
mix. It's at that one
mix.
It's nearly at the Lost Tempo.
It's close to the Lost Tempo. And I couldn't figure out quite how I was going to get into it, but I knew I really wanted to play it soon. And I was like,
I just
stopped the music. And I was just, this was in Guildford, and I basically talked about the fact I wasn't from there, and if anyone knew of any after parties after the club, do me one favour, press play, send me a location. Boom,
yes.
Everyone went sick, and I was like, I felt like a G. And by the way, you lot are welcome to use that now.
There you go.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's just, you know what I mean, those kind of things where I perfectly brought, I say it sounds so arrogant, where I perfectly brought the tune in, but I was able to stop the music, do like a link, and then bring the tune in, and it all made sense.
I know. It's having all of those things in your artillery is like, dope. Like, you can be able to cut up, be able to use the mic. Like, you can. There's no situation where you won't be phased, pretty much. Like,
Piers Morgan's birthday party, I'd probably be pretty phased. So no. I wouldn't
I'd be questioning every selection. Yeah, I know. I'd be like,
no, if the dance floor is busy. Like, do you know what? In that party, I remember one. Ian Wright came up to me, go, look, can I have one song? And he asked
this guy.
Yeah, and as soon as it came on, he's like, you know what, Ian Wright?
Yeah,
like,
Ian Wright's a like, legend.
Ghost movie, go.
Yeah,
like,
see it.
I just thought, what a G. You're everything I expected.
That must be mad for you as an Arsenal fan growing up as well, and now like you're kind of moving around. He's like, bro, if I got asked to play a United party, I won't be able to keep my cool. No way, man.
Nah, of course you will. You will.
I don't know if I would. Like, I'm like I am the sickest like United fan from as long as I can remember. I definitely would be super gassed on a different level.
But I think you would like
I say that now in a situation. I might
yeah,
you
definitely
different,
would like that. That's what I think. As tour DJs, you've got to kind of hold your cool sometimes. Yeah, man. Like you'll never see me take videos while she's performing.
Yeah,
no,
like,
no, no.
If I take a video and something happened.
Yeah, the sort of like, the song stops. And
yeah,
you're
man.
Yeah.
You'll never see me like take selfie videos with the artists and stuff like that. Like, that's not my job, man. It's like, you know what I mean.
There's I feel like the artists respect that stuff way more as well, man. Like, you can't be out there. There's a way to hold yourself in these circles, yeah. Isn't there? Like, it doesn't.
There is, yeah. There's it's certain things you've got to think as well. Like, it's deeper than just getting content for the gram. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could have posted up some sick stories over the weekend, but I'm too busy. Like, I'm actually
living the moment,
doing the job.
And like you say, if something went wrong, and the artist turns around, and you're there, like,
imagine what
the music stopped, the music's jumped, anything's gone wrong with it, and you're there trying to get your content. Like, that's messing up that performance, right? Like,
yeah.
The most I do is set up a GoPro,
but that's different,
and then have it running and just at the end. But I tried that, and actually, the GoPro, the battery ran out before the show started.
And that's a good way to analyze your sets as well. Like, oh, I could have jumped in there, or I could have done something differently.
Yeah,
I've been putting a GoPro up as different.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. During my DJ sets, I'll take it into the story and stuff. But if I'm DJing and someone is performing, if I'm in charge of their music, like.
Yeah,
nice. You still doing the events, you Smooth? He still taps into the promo side of things.
Yeah, massively. We're starting. Yeah, starts in May.
Every Friday in London.
Third of May, Omira, and it's such a you love that venue. Like, it's a music person's venue. It's owned by one of the guys from Mumford and Sons, so it's an independent venue. It's just dope, man.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
And so that's gonna be the new
Friday,
wave now. Yeah.
Every Friday will be
okay.
There. So it'll be good. Like, we'll have Andy down there and. A few of my friends, we have to get you guys down there at some point. Like,
there we go. Hey, bookings, come on.
And some cameras as well, so you can't. I can't back that
one. I feel like a lot of DJs are doing that more now and getting into, like, because I remember when we started jamming stuff, like, it was a new thing for DJs to kind of, it wasn't where we were anyway. No DJs were taking on the responsibility of doing it all themselves and cutting them out. I feel like now a lot of DJs are carrying their own energy and then building their own stuff instead of promoters booking you or whatever. Like, I think it's sick. Like, we always used to say it when we started Jam, our little slogan was like, we are not promoters. That was our angle. We're like, we're DJs, but we're just gonna throw these parties in it. It just became way bigger than we ever could have thought it could have got, and then we're like, shit, like, we actually are promoters now. Do you know what I mean? That's the way it got. And then obviously now I feel there's people just popping up left, right and center doing their own events, man. I think it's sick. And you got your new shit starting. Doubles tapped into a little bit now as well.
Are you throwing your own events?
I partnered up with my good friend Shocker B.
Okay.
From Southampton. He's been running, he has a company called Real Urban Music.
Yeah.
Been running events down in Southampton 10 years plus and really like monopolised that southern corner there. And then him and I partnered up last year. Actually came about because I lost a club residency. Okay. They decided to change the music policy to like cheesy 90s and dance music.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's not me.
That's
not me. I wouldn't know where to start, but I don't want to do it. So I had a sit down with Shocker. We went to Amsterdam for a meeting so we could basically so tax deductible decent meeting there.
This guy not messing about, you know.
Business meeting in Amsterdam with Shocker. We could have met in Southampton, but why not? Let's get on the plane. So we started doing like events together now and they've been decent.
I think it's so important for DJs to do it because A, you build up your own crowd, your own following, your own fan base, but you can base a night about you, man. Like, you can be like, if you want to play the latest upfront music, that can be your domain, your place, your home to showcase that. Absolutely. Whereas I do it just for a fun night. I want it to be fun. I want it to be like London is all about exclusiveness. It's all about standing in a queue and not getting in. Whereas my night is, or our night is all about
have fun.
Yeah, and you're like, it doesn't matter if you're 50. It doesn't matter if you're 80. You're invited if you're there to have
the
a good time.
Best ones, man. Like I can't do like it's just my preference. I can't. I'll spin in these spots, but on a night out, that's the last place I would go.
Yeah.
Like we built Jam on that. Like Jam, like it was just about music. We wanted it to be about music and energy and vibes alone. That was it. Like yeah, we had a couple of tables in there, but it was like you could get. It was like 150
people
quid
buy into
like
that, man.
Years, mate. Like it was. We weren't outpricing no one. It was cheap entry, and like that kind of stuck. Now we don't have anything like that in Manny. Mm-hmm. That's where we're coming back in.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
It's on the way back. So here's a question for you. We had this conversation the other day, actually. Did we talk about this? Or was it just an idea? About the tour DJs.
Yeah, I listened to that.
Oh, so we did it.
Yeah, I can't remember, don't rinse out all the tracks before the artist comes on.
Yeah,
that was the one.
So, it's funny because I've seen both sides of the coin. I had a situation last year where I was playing and then the tour DJ came on to do a 15-minute set before the main artist and blasted through everything.
Americans do that, don't they? A lot, I think.
This was an English guy. Really? I mean, the Americans
it's an English
do
dude,
it.
Really.
The Americans do it, but I mean, this was an English guy. But I still had 2 hours to play after they had finished their PA.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, and again, like I have the rule where if the song's been played, it's been played.
Mm.
Like, that's it in the bin.
Even if it's like 10, 20 seconds of it, like Tatiana, just
on
say,
that, I'll be honest, on that night, I bent the rules because he rinsed through, so he did a lot of like.
So in 15 minutes, he must have stayed
absolutely
about.
Buried double in the sand.
Oh mate, yeah, I was in some shit. I'm not gonna lie. So there was, I think there was two songs that he just blasted like part of the chorus.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, it was okay. The 30-second rule.
Yeah,
well, that
so that's where I bent it slightly, but generally the rest of the time I haven't. But as a tour DJ, what's your take on it? Because you've obviously must have had times where you're coming into the club and then you're coming on to set the vibe right before Eve touches the mic. So where do you come at it?
If it's a club show, and I think it's important that the tour DJ goes on beforehand, A, to make sure that equipment's running right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
you got to run a few songs just to make sure everything's sounding right, you're running right, turntables are cool, CDJs are cool. But I think it's important to, like if the warm-up DJ's already playing the hits, why don't you switch it up, bring up like completely change it up? Especially with Eve, I can play some old stuff like some DMX or Rough Riders stuff.
Yeah.
You can really have fun with it. But it is really important in that same sentence to say that you need to have it popping before the artist comes on. Like,
100%.
So it's
crowd needs to be lit.
Yeah, so I do understand it, but I think there's ways about you can do it and you can be creative about it and still give other people, the other DJs, a chance. And like I always say this, like everyone has to play their position in a club night. Like a warm-up is just as important, if not more important, than the headline DJ, because you set the tone. And the whole point of a club night for me is to have as many people at the end of the night in there at the end, when it's closed, the last song. You don't want people leaving early because they're burnt out at 2 a.m. or 1 a.m.
You want it to...
So if everyone plays their position and... Like
Chucky was just saying that one about people playing positions.
Exactly,
like,
almost
the
exactly
most
the
important.
Same.
Yeah, literally the same
position.
Words.
Yeah. It's so cool. Like having a clique of DJs that you're cool with. Like I know what Andy's going to play in the main set. So if I was playing up before him, I'll cater for him.
Okay.
To set him up. And like I've been warm up, man. I've been warm up for Trevor for years, so I kind of know how to.
I feel like it's
etiquette.
But that's almost the way it should be, though. Like, the younger, inexperienced DJs should be the warm-ups.
Yeah, it's like when you talked about having an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, precisely that. I mean, I came up DJing when I was doing the early Twice as Nice days. I came up DJing before Scotty B.
And what
and
a great
after,
place to learn.
And after Scotty B.
Yeah.
If you know anything about the way Scotty B DJs.
Like, savage.
Savage, but
savage
every song ever made.
100,000 songs in an hour.
And he does it so well.
My
incredibly.
God, he's crazy
but
skilled,
then
man.
Me as a DJ, and I always had this rule of I can't play a song. I knew I couldn't rinse any big songs before Scotty was coming on. And he plays everything ever made. The fuck do I play? Because I've now got 2 hours. I remember one set in particular. I think it was in Bournemouth. And the CEO of Twice as Nice, Steve Gordon, was in the DJ box.
And he's quite
box.
Strict
he
as was, well.
Mate, he was in the DJ box. And he says, I think the first time I'd ever met him as well.
Oh,
and Scotty finished.
Intense.
Dr. Psycho was hosting the night as well. They both had finished. And now it's just on me, and Steve Gordon's there, mate, but I still blitz through it. And that was, I learned to really control a crowd by going with a different selection. Do you know what I mean?
And like, getting out of your comfort zone, man, like playing stuff that you're, that's not the bangers, makes you a better DJ.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it gives you a better knowledge, and like, you can just...
You can smash a set without touching the main bangers. Yeah. Like, it's how you put it out there, how you drop the songs, like the whole thing.
That's like, what I feel like is missing from a lot of the younger guys now, because they're not...
Go for the straight bangers.
Yeah, they're not trained to do that sort of stuff. They're not coming on before. And not only that, I feel like not enough DJs will say to them, not so much like, don't play this and that, but just advise them like,
you're doing it constructively.
Like, just take time, like play the stuff that you want to play and just warm them up.
And do you know what? It's so ironic that we're talking about this conversation about playing all the bangers, and that's what people just play, when now we have access to so much music.
Almost every song ever made you can get within 10 seconds if you're to find it.
Before, we'd only have like what we carried in our CDJ pouch.
Imagine the pressure now of going to the club and you've got to take one crate.
You know what? I used to...
Like, you would be thinking, like...
Did you just used to have your bags ready all the time and then just add new ones to it?
Yeah, and then you'd have to... When it was so packed, you'd have to take a couple out.
Yeah.
See, after every set, I had my vinyls stacked alphabetically, and after every set, I would unload my bags.
Really?
Back, and then... I mean, these
he's a DJ's DJ.
The guy said he had them in alphabetical order.
Yeah, alphabetical order.
The
right?
Dedication.
Numbers first. Alphabetical order, so 1 to 9. And after every set, my bags would be unloaded, everything back. And then the afternoon that I knew I was doing a club set, these times I wasn't playing like 5 nights a week. I was doing, I think, probably Fridays and Saturdays. And then I would hand pick the songs I wanted to play that night.
You went in, bro.
Obviously, there were some that consistently were in and out every day, but
I was the guy with all the ripped sleeves.
Yeah, like
the nails hanging out, big scratches on the back of
50 Cent Get Rich or Die Trying album looks like I've been chewing it. Like, honestly, the amount of times the vinyl's been in and out, because
there were so many bangers on that album, man. Club bangers.
That was a great year.
Yeah, when you used to play tracks off the album when you were out.
Well, that particular album.
Because then you'd have like 10 tracks and then you have the little tiny gap in between.
But stuff like
What Up Gangsta wasn't released on a single, is it? Stuff like
I feel like I have it on single.
Really?
Yeah.
I think so. Maybe it might have been a promo or a B-side. Yeah.
Wankster was on the other side of In the Club.
That
was on the other side of In the Club. That was on the B-side. I remember that one.
That's what I'm thinking of. But also, it saved space. Because instead of having all these separate vinyls, I've just got all of them on vinyl.
I remember, I might get in trouble for this. I used to go into the vinyl shops, and then there'd be like, it was when I was doing Garage, so they used to do like the 4-pack of vinyls, and it'd be like 15 tracks on them. But then I'd only want like 3 tracks off like one specific vinyl in this pack that costs like 30 quid. So I'd swap it. So I'd take the vinyl that I wanted. Obviously, back then, you had turntables in HMV. You could go and play them or whatever. So casual. This is so bad when I think back. I'm so annoyed.
No, loads of people did that, man. So you used to get the stick and the free for £10.
Bought shitloads of garage.
Part of the hustle was real. Like you say, buying £8 on a vinyl, but then never mind 30 quid to get 2 free songs. Yeah. So I'd take them and listen to them, and I'd accidentally put that back in the other thing. Got it for 7-8 quid.
Hustler, mate.
The hustle is real.
We've got some gems from Martin T. Smooth.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming through, bro. We've been meaning to get you on for time, and you do listen to it a lot, man.
Yeah, man.
The guy's dropping in on his honours, you know.
No, honestly, I always, it's a good thing to listen to. I love listening to podcasts after the club. Like, I don't want to listen to music, especially when my ears are battered from a 4-hour set or whatever.
Yeah, I hear that.
And it's a great listen. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, my bro.
First birthday, so happy birthday, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Second, third, fourth, fifth. This is just the start for us, man.
Like we said, we'll do the year, see where we're at. And then I think now is like, we're really going to try and put the foot down on it. And yeah, man, and we'll see how we go. But Smooth.
Just don't stop. Keep going.
You're flying, bro. Keep flying, my G. Yeah. Keep flying.
Thanks for having me.
Hashtag Talk Over Podcast. Can't forget to drop that in there. Subscribe on Spotify, YouTube.
Apple Music.
We're on Apple Music now as well. We're making moves out of here, cuz.
We're out here.
And that's it.
Let's get it.
Thank you, bro.
Nah, thank you. I enjoyed that.
My guy. Thank you, bro. My belly.
I hope it was all right content-wise for you, man.
No, that'll be sick. That's sick. Like, the big...